Hey, it's Scott Petrak with another episode of the Brown Zone Coverage Podcast. I thought we'd be talking about a win in Joe Flacco's return to Baltimore. Boy, was I wrong. Here to discuss the Browns' surprising blowout loss to the Texans is Dave Chudowski of GO, the WKYC Morning News. Hey, Chud, how you doing, bud?
Oh man, like the rest of us, right? I mean, geez, Scott, that's just like preparing for a marathon, and you're kicking butt in your training and everything's going right, and then the first mile in, you blow out your knee and it's over. All that all that work that goes into it, and you get nothing out of it in the end except for, hey, it was a great regular season, and then you build on that, and as we do in Cleveland all the time, we say maybe next year. I
Right.
guess, there's so much we're going to do, but I guess the positive is you can feed off of a fantastic season and feel like the culture's changed and, they're going to be back. The negative is, I mean, boy, you definitely would have liked to have had at least one playoff win there to show what you had, especially since you were the favorite. And as we know in the NFL, you never know if you can
Right.
get back the next year. So I think there's mixed emotions for fans.
Oh, for sure. And I think there's a couple things, Chud. Number one, you're right. Nothing's promised to you moving forward, period. The way the loss happened, right? It wasn't, and you can have the old argument, would you rather get blown out or lose a close game? But it was so demoralizing and so one-sided that I think that obscures, at least for now. And we're taping this on Tuesday afternoon, but at some point it probably fades, but I think right now it obscures the 11 wins in the regular season, the ability to overcome everything they overcame, all the stuff we talked about all season long, the surprising journey, the magical Joe Flacco run at the end. I think the way they lost, at least temporarily, overshadows that, which is disappointing. And I think if they had lost in round two to somebody else in a close game, or even had lost kind of on a fluky play to Houston or whatever, just played better, right? I guess that's the bottom line. Just played better. Then you can kind of look at it like, hey, they fought as hard as they could. They gave a great effort, but this is such a dud and such a downer that I think it's going to take a while for people to be able to kind of reappreciate what a great season it was, because I do think it was. I mean, great, we could, I guess, argue over the word great, but it was certainly a strong season. I think they overachieved given all the injuries. I don't think you can debate that. It was just a terrible way to end. That's all.
Now, if we go back to your opening monologue there, and you said surprising loss, let me ask you this though. Are you referring to the way they lost? Like, I
Yes.
can't believe you're surprised that they lost, because I mean, I we both picked the Browns to win, but I certainly thought there was a chance they could lose. We gave the scenarios last week on this podcast of how they could lose. So, and I know I had a text chain going with a couple buds, and I said, hey, I think the Browns are going to win. But I also said, I go, the city's way too confident. I didn't like how confident. And I didn't want to say anything because I didn't want to be a downer and come across the wrong way. But the city was way too confident last week. That was my only issue. Again, thought they were going to win,
Right.
but I mean, are you really surprised they lost?
Well, yeah. I mean, I didn't think it was impossible. I mean, they were only a 2.5, 3 point favorite, right? So obviously, that's a game that is close and anything can happen. I watched a whole bunch of the pregame stuff and the lead up, and nationally was probably close to 50-50, but maybe slanted toward Houston. So, obviously, I knew they could lose, but I'm telling you, Chud, when I broke it down, and obviously I'm way wrong, I thought there was a way better chance that the Browns blew out the Texans than the Texans blew out the Browns. I mean, I thought I went position by position. I thought the Browns had the edge. I thought the Browns had the edge in, like, schematically, right? We talked about it last week. CJ Stroud struggles against man coverage. The Browns play a bunch of man coverage. The Texans like to play zone. The Browns know how to attack the zone. It just felt like all these things lined up in the Browns' favor. What I think I underestimated, and it wasn't the CJ Stroud factor, because I knew it was going to be a big difference with him. But I think I underestimated how motivated the Texans would be coming off that Christmas Eve loss, right? It was such a thorough beatdown administered by the Browns that I think that really
Good call.
motivated the Texans. And I kind of looked at it like, well, we're going to see it again. Like the matchup is just good for the Browns. I can see it happening again. And, I don't know if the Browns were overconfident. And you talk about Cleveland overconfident. I don't know if the Browns were overconfident. I don't know if they lacked some energy because how easy it was the first time. But I certainly think Houston was motivated by that and had confidence in having Stroud back and having the two defensive ends, Will Anderson Jr. and Jonathan Greenard, right? And having one of their linebackers back. And like all of it, I think really kind of emboldened Houston to, hey, we can do this. And then they have a plan. We already saw these guys. We know what they do. Let's design our plan to go get them. And they certainly did that.
Yeah, those are great points you just made across the board there, and I agree with everything you said. But that's a little concerning, though, if you think that they were overconfident from that win. I mean, they didn't have. I mean, C.J. Stroud didn't
Right.
play, and I mean, it's the NFL where I mean, you play two teams, you play the same team in your division twice, and one game could go one way, the other could go another, and it's the NFL playoffs. I mean, that's disturbing to me if they were not mentally prepared. Do you
Yeah, I
feel
mean,
that's possible?
I don't think they weren't prepared. I don't think like Kevin Stefanski or Jim Schwartz took anything for granted. I just wonder if, and I didn't get the sense, like during the week, I thought they gave Stroud his due, and like I didn't hear anybody talking about going in there and blowing him out. I just wonder if human nature is, hey, we just played these guys, and it wasn't like you played them week four and a bunch of stuff changes, right? Played them 3 weeks ago. It's like, man, we just went down and clobbered these guys. I wonder if it's just human nature to think, well, yeah, it's going to happen again. Not that they didn't go to practice hard and all those things, like, but is there any type of mental letdown there? I just, that feels like it could be human nature. I mean, when that collides with, a motivated team with a great plan, and your defense has its worst game of the year, your quarterback throws two pick sixes, right? Like, that is the recipe for disaster.
Oh, yeah. Recipe, and we talked about it last week. We said that's how they could lose. And you know, I think we just got a front row seat to C.J. Stroud, and this guy, this kid might be in the conversation. No, he is certainly in the conversation of one of the next great quarterbacks in this league. To do that as a rookie, Scott, you know how difficult that is as a rookie quarterback with a first year head coach to do what he did. I mean, this guy. I mean, we knew he was going to be tough, but man, this kid's special.
He is. And there's all kinds of crazy stats coming out of that game for him. But I think he's the youngest rookie quarterback to win a playoff game. I know he's the highest draft pick to win a playoff game, being number two as a rookie. To win a playoff game as a rookie, being the number two pick. I think they were the first rookie head coach or rookie quarterback to win a division. So it's all of that. And the way he does it, the poise he shows, obviously he's tremendously gifted. What might have impressed me most about him, Chud, is the Browns didn't get a lot of pressure on him, obviously. And we can talk about that. But you look at the stats and it says they got one quarterback hit on him. Well, that's not right because I saw a JOK once, and I think it was Taki Taki the other time, drill him after he delivers the ball. And so maybe those don't count as quarterback hits. I don't know, but I know what I saw. And he stood in the pocket and delivered strike after strike, whether there's pressure or no pressure, right? And those turned out to be big plays. The one was I think one was the touchdown to Dalton Schultz, the tight end, right? When he got by Ronnie Hickman. JOK is close to hitting him. And like hits him after he releases, but he stands in there and delivers. So I think that's really impressive. Joe Flacco brought that up when talking about Stroud, because not everybody has that, right? Quarterbacks don't like to get hit, and to stand in there and deliver, I think really bodes well for this kid's future.
Yeah, and again, we both picked them to win. I was on board with you, but I had a lot of people that came up to me during the week with concern. I take that back, not a lot, because I, like I said, the city was overconfident. But there's about three people that I talk to, you know, on a weekly basis. I talk to more than that, Scott, but you know, three guys that that love to break down the Browns game every weekend. And two of them were really concerned and actually were predicting the Houston win. And I just kept every day last week trying to think in my head. But I was like, no, I think they're going to overcome this. I think, and the fact that they were favored in Vegas and just the way they went down there. But ultimately, if you remember, and I felt like an idiot for this, and I went on the record as an idiot because I picked them to lose in Houston the regular season.
Right.
But obviously Stroud wasn't in the game. But part of the reason I did that was because the defense doesn't travel. And I just felt like Houston, and obviously Case Keenum, a much different story. But obviously the defense came to play the first time around. That's kind of what I expected the first time was what the defense did this time. They just got on the road. I mean, what is it about this defense on the road?
I don't have that answer, Chud, and I've been trying to figure it out. And Kevin Stefanski said he's gonna, do a. He didn't have time, yet when we talked to him Sunday. He said they're going to examine all that and try to figure it out. There's factors that we can point to. You don't have the energy from the crowd, right? Guys talk about that because this has been a, it's been throughout the season, right? Where you've, at, we've asked and the media's asked and we've talked about why the road performance is so different. And it's startling. It's like 13 or 14 points at home to 30 on the road. Like the yardage is insane. Like the discrepancy is mind-boggling. So it's come up before, and there's a lot of talk about the energy, right? At home, you have so much energy. You get it. They feed off the crowd. The crowd feeds off them. But, it's a playoff. The crowd's loud in Houston, right? You should be able to funnel or channel that energy to serve you, and the Browns have not been able to do that. I think part of it is at home, the crowd's loud. It slows the snap count. Like that matters. Right, the linemen are a little bit late getting off the ball. That helps the pass rush, and that's not a factor when you're playing on the road. But that shouldn't be enough. Like it, that should not be the difference between 15 and 30 points, right? Like it just shouldn't be. So I don't have a great answer for that. I know our friend and colleague Mary Kay Cabot. She really thinks the quarterbacks that they face on the road play a big part in this. And I think that's a factor. I don't think it's the biggest factor. Like Russell Wilson, he's a good quarterback. He didn't have a great game against the Browns. The Broncos did. I think Wilson had a great game, especially throwing the ball. Matthew Stafford had a good game the following week in LA. CJ Stroud, obviously, this game. But they played Lamar at home and away, and they played Lamar better. Well, I mean, that one's hard because they lost at home and won on the road, right? But Lamar had two good drives at home, and then played pretty well on the road. So I don't know how to consider that. Gardner Minshew had a huge day against him in Indy, and yeah, he's an experienced guy, but he's not like a top 15 quarterback, right? So I'm not crediting the crap defensive game in Indy to playing a great quarterback in Gardner Minshew. So I think there's just a bunch of factors there. And it's something they're going to have to figure out, right? Because if you're going to take the next steps next year, and if you're going to have, again, a top five defense, right? They were number one this year, at least in the yardage categories, right? They weren't number one in scoring. They weren't number one in the EPA stats or DVOA stats. But they had the number one yardage, number one pass defense, number one on third down, number one on first downs. If you're going to try to do that again next year, you can't have this, right? You just can't. And you're going to get to your goals. Odds are you're going to have to win on the road at some point, right? Whether it's during the regular season, so you have a good enough record that you don't have to travel in the playoffs, or you're going to have to go on the road in the playoffs, right? Like it just happens. You're going to have to win games on the road. So I don't have the great answer for that, Chud. And when you look at the game Saturday in Houston, like there's a lot of misdirection. And I think they took advantage of the Browns' attacking philosophy, right? They like to pursue the ball. They like to, the defensive linemen charge off the ball, and you can fool them with some misdirection. And but they're not the only defense that gets fooled by that. The Browns run a lot of misdirection on offense. Like you saw a lot of similar plays that the Texans and Browns were running to try to confuse a defense. The Texans just had more success doing it. They attacked certain matchups. They went after Greg Newsome and got him a couple times. They went after rookie Ronnie Hickman, the safety, and they got him a couple times, including the one big touchdown to the tight end. And some of that stuff changes. Like if you can get pressure on the quarterback, then your back end isn't susceptible, right? But they weren't getting pressure on the quarterback. They were getting fooled. You look at that 76-yard touchdown the dump off to the tight end. Like, that's JOK. JOK played really well. I think he had four tackles for loss. It was all over the field. But on that play, the tight end stayed in long enough. JOK should be covering the tight end. Instead, he goes after CJ Stroud. It's a small completion. Martin Emerson makes a terrible effort on a tackle. Ronnie Hickman, like, runs himself out of bounds. It kind of gets pushed from the side, but doesn't do a good job contained. And then there's nobody else around. Like, there were just big breakdowns. And, you know, Kevin Stefanski pointed to, you know, coverage breakdowns and, you know, losing your gap. And all that stuff's true. And they'll say little things add up to big things. And I think all those things are true, too. But the players did not pay enough attention to detail, right? Their eyes, they talk about their eyes. They weren't good enough with their eyes. So they got fooled by the misdirection and the motion. And if you're split second slow, a guy runs by you. And that killed them. And then I think it was a really good scheme that they I don't know if they didn't adjust to it, but it took them too long, or they were slow to adjust, or what have you. I just think they got out schemed and out coached that day, and it was a terrible time for that to happen.
Man, really great breakdown there. Excellent answer. And, you know, just to admit that you're not even 100% sure, and I think a lot of people are in the same boat, but I do like the Mary Kay breakdown, and I do kind of sense a little bit of that to be true, but you also kind of have some good argument to that. So that's really good feedback there on that. But I will say this, Scott, you know, you talk about the three different things, you know, whether the number one defense, but when you hear people talk nationally, you know, media and so forth, they say the number one defense, right?
Right.
So that makes people feel like that's the number one defense in the NFL, correct?
Oh, for sure. And I mean, that's the stat that's referred to. I'm just pointing out that, you know, like the DVOA, which is, it's like kind of like the war stat in baseball. Like the Ravens and Niners are like at the top of that list this year and are up there historically. And so yardage, like, you know, I think yardage is one way to gauge it. And that's the way the Browns are number one. I'm just saying there's other ways. And I think if you ask any coach in the league, they would want to be the number one scoring defense. Now the Browns weren't, but there are also factors for that. They turned it over a league high times, which put the defense in terrible position, right? So, you know, that's why the analytic stats like DVOA try to overcome all those things. But yeah, it's certainly legitimate to call this team the number one defense, and crap, they called themselves that all year long and still refer to themselves as that. So they took that and they ran with that badge of honor.
Okay. Well, let me give you the CHUD, the Chud way. Okay. And let me tell you, and you know, I've been saying it since the beginning of the season, and how many times have I asked you and I've tried to break down this defense? That is a bunch of BS. They're not the number one defense right in the NFL. I've been saying it since day one. We broke it down each and week. They're one of the best. They are one of the best. But to say number one, I think that just is, you know, that leads fans down the wrong path. They did not prove themselves week in and week out to be a consistent number one defense. And I think that is going to have to improve. That, I mean, you know, we could talk about quarterback and this and that, but you know, I think at the end of the day, there were weeks where I would be like, you know what, I'm wrong. They are a great defense. And then there'd be weeks I'm like, you know, they're a good defense. And then there's other weeks where I'm like, they're overrated. Yeah. But I think at the end of the day, man, what they presented in that playoff game, I think backs how I feel. And tell me if I'm wrong.
No, you're not. You're not. And I would agree with you that they're not the number one, that they weren't the best defense in the league, right? Forget number one. They weren't the best defense in the league. They were too hot and cold, right? Too up and down. I think of the games against like Tennessee where they gave 90 yards passing, and against Arizona where Arizona, whatever, finished with 100 and some yards, right? Like, those skew the stats. And those, but that's part of the resume where they had dominant games. But you need to be more consistent, right? It needs to be week in and week out. You can't just feast on the Clayton Tunes of the world and not stop the CJ Strouds, right? So I do think that's part of it. They had a lot of talent, right? We know what they did up front. We know what they did on the back end. Like, I think that's why I kept kind of fighting you when you would, you know, talk about this defense on the road and the defense's issues. I kept thinking, well, I see how good they are up front with Myles Garrett. I see how good they are in the back end. Like, they have Jim Schwartz. They have all these pieces. So it doesn't feel – it to me, it didn't feel like kind of an aberration when they had great games and when they were ranked number one. they just weren't able to do it week in and week out, and obviously at the most critical in the most critical game of the year.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on Myles Garrett in this game? Because he's taking a little bit of heat.
Yeah. I went back and rewatched it. Obviously it didn't have the impact you would expect and hope Myles Garrett to have, right? Three tackles, no sacks. So I get that criticism. I also think that I'm trying to come up the best way to say it. You can take, they did a lot of stuff to reduce the impact of Myles Garrett, the Texans did, just like the Rams did, and just like a lot of teams do, and some have more success than others. And if you're winning the whole game and you don't know if the team's going to run or pass, you can't pin your ears back and go after the quarterback. They ran away from him, they rolled CJ Stroud away from him. And like, if you can't go get him, if you're blocking, if you're getting blocked with two guys and the quarterback rolls away, you're not going to be able to go get the quarterback. I don't care who it is. You're just not. Now, are there more play? Could he make more plays? I would argue yes. Did he have a quote unquote big enough impact? I'd say no. Do I think it minimizes how good a player he is? No. Do I still think he deserves to be Defensive Player of the Year? I do. I certainly think he's the top one, two, or three defensive players in the league this year and pretty much every year. I think he's that kind of a talent. I think Laremy Tunsil, the left tackle, he's a Pro Bowl left tackle who they believe he should, and down in Houston, they believe he should be an all-pro guy. And that makes it tougher on the defensive end, right? Like, I watched the end of the Dallas game, one of the regular season games, and Micah Parsons couldn't get close to the quarterback because he was getting, it was against Detroit, the crazy game with the ending, or the game with the crazy ending. Penei Sewell, who's an all-pro right tackle, wouldn't let him get to the quarterback, and it was one-on-one. And Micah Parsons is a top five defender in the league, right? So it's a tough matchup. He didn't win it enough. He didn't get a ton of chances to win it, to win the one-on-one battles. And they're usually not one-on-one. They were sometimes, but he's also getting double and triple teamed and all that. So yeah, I get it. He's the guy everybody talks about. You look at him and you go take over the game. And I thought he would. I thought he was gonna have a big game, regardless of Laremy Tunsil. I thought they'd move him around and he'd figure out a way. That didn't happen. I think it's tough when they're marching down the field at will and they're doing all kinds of things, and your defense is just giving up chunk play after chunk play. I think it's hard for any one player to swing that tide and to change that, especially when it was misdirection and the great scheme and all that stuff. So I get the frustration. I'm not saying he played a great game. I think he can play better, but to me, that doesn't change my overall opinion of Myles Garrett.
So do we agree that the number one cause, because people like to break it down, right? Hey, what's the main reason they lost? Like, I mean, I think we're putting defense number one, and then we're moving on to Joe Flacco and in the offense, right?
No doubt about it. No doubt. I mean, they
No
gave
doubt.
up. Yeah, I mean, they gave up 296, I think, in the first half, 298 yards, which is more than their average for a game. They're down. They gave him 24 points in the first half, right? Joe Flacco was good in the first half. Brown scored 14 points. Like, the defense didn't set the table at all. Now, maybe, they get a stop to start the third quarter. Maybe Schwartz had figured some stuff out. Maybe it was going to be that thing where in the second half they don't let anything happen. We saw a little bit of that in the Detroit Rams game this weekend, right? All those points in the first half, then it really slowed down in the second half. Maybe that's the kind of game you were in for, and obviously the pick sixes killed them, but they also gave up another touchdown drive, in the third or fourth quarter. So yes, for me, the number one reason they lost this game was because the defense did not come close to living up to its number one ranking.
Yeah, no doubt. But let's dive into Flacco now. And the Flacco fever took a halt here in this game, no question. I mean, two pick sixes, Scott. That's what are your feelings on that?
Yeah. Here's what I want to say, number one, is like, I get all the emotions involved with the way the season lost. Okay. And I get everything that went poorly, and I'm not diminishing anything. And the goal is to win the Super Bowl, and this game was prevented the Browns from coming close to doing that. And I didn't think, we talked about this last week, I didn't think it was crazy to have those Super Bowl ideas and thoughts, right? Because I thought this team had some of the characteristics necessary to get you there, right? Which was the defense, and which was a good coaching staff, and which was Joe Flacco playing at a high level. So, obviously, a lot of those things, or none of those things, showed up like they needed to in Houston. The reaction I don't like is the Joe Flacco turned into a pumpkin, right? Well, man, we knew this was a matter of time with Joe Flacco. Like, he still played really well for four games in a row, right? He started five. He played pretty well in that first game, too. But that four-game winning streak, right? Throws for 300 yards every game, first quarterback in the history of the franchise to do that. Throws 13 touchdowns, throws 1,600 yards, right? Energizes the city, energizes the team, gives everyone belief. Played at a high level, like threw for the most yards in the league in that four-game winning streak. So that doesn't disappear because he throws two pick sixes in really difficult circumstances, right? It doesn't mean he can't play anymore because he, like, guys have bad games, right? Guys have bad games in the playoffs, right? Jalen Hurts, does anybody think he's done because he had a bad game yesterday? No. And I get he's 30. I get, and happy birthday, Joe Flacco turned 39 today. We're taping this on Tuesday. So, like, I get that part of it, but I don't like the overreaction to Flacco specifically. Now, you know, he was never going to be the starter next year for the Browns. And whether or not he's a starter somewhere else next year, maybe that game changes things. I don't necessarily think it should. Maybe it does. But I just didn't like that reaction. And I heard it a couple different places, and it just kind of rubbed me the wrong way, because I don't think you can just erase what he did over the last month of the season. Having said that, the two pick sixes were the backbreaker. The defense had gotten a stop. You're down 10. You're moving the ball. If you can go score, who knows what happens, right? Maybe your defense gets a turnover. Maybe Myles Garrett gets that strip sack and it's a three-point game and it turns into a lead, right? Like, you never know what can happen. And he's responsible for the ball, and he threw two pick sixes that ended the game. Now, to deal in a little nuance, the first one, James Hudson III gets killed at right tackle by Derek Barnett. And Flacco doesn't have a chance to throw deep to Elijah Moore. They're trying to run a double move. Now, Flacco admitted after the game he should have taken the sack. He explained why he didn't. They had already overcome a second and long. He didn't want to be in another second and long situation. He was just trying to throw the ball away and couldn't get enough on it because the pass rushers got him around the waist. So, like, that's, to me, that's a reasonable explanation. He should have taken a sack. He admits it later. I'd understand why he didn't. And it kills the Browns, right? Like, so yeah, looking back on it, he should have either taken a sack or thrown it at the feet of Njoku, who was running across a short cross. Like, that might have been the best play for him to make. So it's on Flacco, but there are extenuating circumstances. Like, you want to trust your left tackle to hold up for a second, and he couldn't hold up. The second one, the second one is 4th and 2. You got to try to make a play. You know, you're down 17, you're running out of time. He tried to fit it in, and it didn't work. Like, you know, he's trying to make something out of nothing there. It bites him. Could he have gone somewhere else with the ball? Maybe. Like, I'm not saying that either of them are good decisions, and obviously they killed him. I can just understand how these terrible plays happen.
Yeah, I think that's a great take on him in that game. And I don't I think that is ridiculous to say that, you know, the clock strike midnight or the pumpkin theory, whatever. I'm right. Good with that on that game. But I will say this. Now, what is it when you tweet now, Scott? Is it you X'd or can you still
I don't
say
know, but I think you're allowed to say tweet. You're just not allowed to call it Twitter.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So I want your reaction on this, because I got a lot of reaction on a tweet that I put out. And my tweet here, or X, whatever it is, It wasn't based on his play in the game. It was based on Flacco's legacy. And it goes back to that LeBron question I asked you. And this is what I wrote. And I just want I'm gonna read you what I wrote. I don't know if you saw it or not. I'm gonna read you what I wrote, and then I want your reaction to it, but then I'm gonna explain it a little bit better. So this is what I wrote. I said, from potentially a Browns legend to just a former Ravens QB, hashtag Flacco.
Interesting. Well, my initial reaction is I would not My thought would not have been to go Ravens quarterback, ex Ravens quarterback. Obviously, it's true, and you're not wrong. My thought was, I'm assuming he's not coming back, right? They haven't closed the door on it, but I'm assuming he's not coming back next year. That he's a footnote. So I think he went from a guy that could have, like you said, been legendary status here to a blip on the radar. A guy that was here for five games. You kind of think back, oh, remember those Flacco moments, right? So yeah, I think that's the inability to win a playoff game kind of reduced, shifted how we view Joe Flacco.
Yeah, see, I thought you might understand where I was going with that because, and a lot of people got pissed at me. I don't know. I can't know if I'm allowed to use that word
Yeah,
on
go
air,
ahead.
but you know, whatever. A lot of people got upset about it, and I think partly it's because they just didn't think it through. My point was simply this: he wins that game and takes him to the Super Bowl. We're starting to have conversations about, you know, is he the, you know, the greatest Cleveland icon or whatever. Like, but here's the deal, man. I'm telling you and I have been around long enough. 20 years from now, we're not going to sit back here and relish in these five or six games and say, oh, that was the best time in Browns history. Like, I mean, Bernie's a legend. I mean, he took the Browns to three AFC championship games, and it's not his fault that they didn't go to the Super Bowl. And we all know how we feel about Bernie, right? I mean, so I guess my point is that 20 years from now, we're not going to think back on Flacco in that regard. You're going to think, all right, like you said, I mean, you know, he gave us a good ride. But at the end of the day, 20 years from now, I'm also going to remember how much pain he caused Browns fans year after year, beating them all the time. So, I mean, it's a collective effort. I think you have to get out of the prisoner of the moment and realize, hey, thank you, Joe. It was a good run. You know, it went well, but it didn't end well. And listen, I think he's a great guy. I love the family, man. I love the story. I love everything about it. Like, I don't think how many people watch Go in the morning, but we Austin Love did a live tailgate on Friday morning. It was hilarious. And he actually had people come in, Scott, and I don't know if you follow him on social media or you saw any of that, but he literally had people at 5, 6 in the morning tailgating and getting ready for a game that
I
was on the
did see
road. It was awesome. And
that. Yeah, I did
did you
see
see
that. Yes.
and he had Tim Misney on, and Tim Misney gave this great like thought about Flacco and how he's a Cleveland guy. He was counted out. Like, no, he's not a Cleveland guy, but he embodies Cleveland, a guy that was counted out, a family man. Like, he gave this great answer, man. And I got into it because I expected him just to come on and say, hey, we're going to make you pay. But Tim Misney gave this amazing answer. And I was all about it, man. I loved it. And I'm like, gosh, Flacco, this is a great story. Everyone's buying these shirts, blah, 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 blah. I get it. I got caught up in it too. But 20 years from now, I'm not going to look back and think of Joe Flacco in anywhere near the regard of Bernie or LeBron or any of these guys.
No.
But had he won a Super Bowl, then you would have. And that's my point.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, he's, you know, I was trying to find the right comparison because, you know, we've had quarterbacks that I've covered that have been fleeting, right? You get Jeff Garcia for 2 years, or you get, or he might have been 1 year, you get Jake Delhomme for a few games, Josh McCown, right? Like these blips, and they had none of them had the success that Flacco did, right? Or in this type of successful season that the Browns had that Flacco was such a part of. So I was trying to find like the right comparison. Maybe it's like a Kelly Holcomb type of situation, right? Like this kind of shooting star that maximized what he was doing, and Holcomb had the great playoff game, but they still lose, right? And that he's still, you know, you think if we write in the Browns history of the last 20 years, Kelly Holcomb's there, but he's not like a huge part of it because he didn't win a playoff game. He didn't stay long after that, right? Like, so that's kind of how I feel about Flacco right now. You know, kind of an out of nowhere thing. I mean, Flacco had way better career than Holcomb did, but when they had their success with the Browns, it was an out of nowhere kind of thing. So yeah, I completely get where you're going with that. And it doesn't, like you said, it doesn't diminish
No,
the last month and how
not
everyone
at
felt
all.
good and how he's embraced by the city and how he resurrected his career, right? But the ending could have been different, right? The story could have been different if the Browns had won in Houston, right? That's just the
Yeah.
reality.
No, I love the Holcomb take, and I actually thought about that. I'm glad you brought that up. Home run take on your part there. That's exactly where it kind of falls in. You know, if anything, what my concern about it is, though, I was telling someone the other day, I'm a little bit nervous, though, that we just got a carrot dangled in front of us of what it's like to have a quarterback to take you where you need to go. Now, obviously, didn't finish it off, But we have been searching, Scott, for a quarterback since they came back in 99 for the most part. You've had glimpses here with Holcomb or Baker got you the playoffs, and we'll
Right.
get to him in a minute. But I mean, what I'm trying to say is, man, now Deshaun has the pressure to live up to that. Like, hey, we finally got to live what it was like to have that. And I think there's even more pressure on him now next year.
I think that's a fair take. There's certainly a lot of pressure on him, right? And because you, first of all, you sh this team has shown that it could win without him. It's shown that it could win without being necessarily quarterback centric, right? When Flacco got here, it became a lot about Joe Flacco. But before that, right, they're winning 13-10 with DTR, and they're winning with PJ Walker. Like, so Deshaun Watson feels like he's stepping back into a situation that's really good. And okay, go manage this team, go make a couple of plays, and this team's good enough to win games. Now, the schedule's harder, it looks harder next year. It's a bunch of good quarterbacks that the Browns are going to face. You know, Watson's probably going to have to play well. But you know what I'm saying? Like, it's they've shown that they can win without him. So why wouldn't they be able to win with him? And I think that does carry its own degree of pressure. So yeah, I'm with you, Chad. And it was such a fun story with Flacco, and we know what a divisive person Watson is, right? And how he split the fan base. So you have that element to it, right? Like with Flacco and with Watson out of the picture, they were an easier team to root for. And now it's back to Watson. And may, you know, I think the off the field stuff has faded for a lot of people. And if he plays well, you know, people will be, most of the people I think will be all in. But there's always that element, you know, and then you throw in the Houston factor of it, which I didn't spend a whole lot of time dealing with or talking about last week. But you know, he's back on that field in Houston. It's some of the draft picks that the Browns traded to get him are beating the Browns, right? Harris, who had the second pick six, was one of the draft picks that the Browns traded to Houston to get Deshaun Watson. They're chanting MVP towards CJ Stroud with the quarterback that he replaced is standing on the sideline, right? So there's all this entwined or intertwined, and I think all that adds to the pressure on Watson.
Boy, I'm glad you brought that up. I almost forgot to bring that up. The players that helped beat them because of that trade. Yeah, that stings a little bit, doesn't
Yeah,
it?
right.
So,
Yeah.
but
And
I can't.
you
I guess I would have never predicted. Like, who would have thought the second worst team in the NFL last year would come back to make you pay Tim Misney in one
can...
year? Are you kidding me?
Right. And you know, now they have one more, you know, Stroud has one more win, playoff win with Houston than Watson has with the Browns, right? And obviously that's not the end all be all, but it looks like, you know, if you had to pick, you'd rather have CJ Stroud than Deshaun Watson, right? Anybody in the league would say that. So it doesn't mean it's a terrible trade, and if he takes the Browns to Super Bowl, you know, you'll have this discussion again. But the Texans have rebounded, and a big chunk of that is due to them moving on with and from the Watson trade.
Yeah, I don't want to spend a lot of time on this because I'm assuming we'll talk weekly here until the Super Bowl to do picks and all that, and we can talk about it later. But and I have other things I want to ask you here. So if you could just keep this one quick.
Yep.
But bottom line is Deshaun Watson is the starting quarterback next year. Stefanski said that. So right,
Yep.
okay. And again, keep this kind of quick. I'd rather hear your breakdown in the coming weeks. But is there any chance Flacco would be back?
Give me a 20% chance.
20%? Okay. All right. So then we'll break that down in the coming weeks. So you're not closing the door.
I'm
All right. That's
not.
kind of
I'm not. And part of
a
that, real quick, is just the way his teammates talked about him Sunday. They think that tandem could work. And that made me think that maybe it could work.
Interesting. All right. That's what we call in the business a tease, Scott, because we want people to keep tuning in here in the
Exactly
coming
right,
weeks. So
Chuck.
that's going to be Petrax Flacco take coming to a podcast near you.
Yeah.
All right. But anyway, let's move. One thing I have to bring up, and I hate that I have to bring this up, but I've heard it a bunch, and I knew I was going to, and it kind of annoys the you know what out of me. But then I have to start thinking, all right, I mean, is there any legitimacy to it? Should have they rested their guys in the final game?
Oh, yeah, I thought you were going somewhere else with that. Yes, they should have. I don't think there's any legitimacy to that. I have resisted writing it because I don't think it's a legitimate argument. I understand the question. I understand where it's coming from. There's been discussion about it. Stefanski got asked about it. The players got asked about it. we talked about. You had to rest them. Guys were beat up. They've been hurt all year long. We saw guys get hurt in that Cincinnati game. People rest their guys. The Browns aren't the only team to rest guys and to come back and win games. Like, that's not why, in my opinion, that's not why they lost. It was the right decision.
Yeah, and someone brought up, you know, hey, the Chiefs, you know, they rested guys, right?
There you go.
They had no problem winning. And then another friend of mine brought up the Lions, but, you know, they played their start. But the Lions were still going for that 2 seed, which they ended up getting home field anyway because of the Cowboys, which we'll get to. But the bottom line is the Lions had something to play for still. And they almost lost their tight end, Laporta. Somehow he found a way to get back on the field, right? So I agree. I just think this is a way for people to come up with excuses.
Yeah, and I get where that could come from. They didn't play well. They'd won 4 in a row. Like, I understand where the thought process, but I think it's all weighing, you know, like Stefan, not to sound like a coach, you make the best decision at the time, and you needed guys to get healthy. I mean, I talked to guys, and they said, yeah, they wanted the week off. They wanted to get healthy, right? I mean, you know, Amari Cooper, he said he could have played, but why would you play him in the finale if he can't even run in when you get to the Texans week, right? He wasn't the same guy.
Yeah, he didn't look right. He didn't look right, did he?
He did not. He was not the same guy. And it would there were bursts, and then there were times where he just couldn't get off the line of scrimmage. Reminded me of last year when he was dealing with the core muscle injury, right? Like, it was kind of hit or miss if he could run hard. You know, Wyatt Teller said he wanted the break. Joe Batonio needed the break. Like, so you're going to trot these guys out there at 75% and then go try to win the next week at 70%? When the game actually matters, that just doesn't make sense to me.
Where did you think I was going to go with that question? You said, you know, you thought you knew where I was going.
Well, you planted the Baker seed in my head, so I thought you were going Baker there.
Well, that's next, buddy. Here we go. I mean, you know, at least the Steelers lost. Could you imagine if the Steelers had won and then Baker won and the Browns lost? It would have been like, oh, man, just more chapters to write in the Cleveland misery book, right?
But
at least the Steelers lost. But man, I got to tell you, and we'll get to our predictions from last week. I guess I didn't realize how bad the Eagles really had it. Like, I should have dove into that more. I guess they just complete. It's a, I didn't watch the game. I had to go to bed. I watched the Bills Steelers game, watched a few plays of that game. But obviously the Eagles, man, I mean, they're just they just tanked. And Baker just, I mean, I did not see that coming, Scott.
Me neither. I can't. Chud, I would – Nick Sirianni went to – he's gone to the playoffs – like in all 3 of his years or 3 of the 4 years.
Who is that?
Nick Sirianni, right? The Eagles coach.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I would never say, man, this guy should get fired. And I'm still not saying he should get fired. But like, I could see that he might get fired. And I know there's been that talk ahead of the game. And I was like, that's ridiculous. If they lose, whatever. They've been to the playoffs. They were at the Super Bowl last year. You know, like, there's a bunch of stuff going on. He lost both his coordinators. But the dramatic fall that the Eagles had from being 10-1, I think they were 10-1. And I know, because I watched them early in the year, and they weren't playing great, but they're still figuring out ways to win. And you don't get to 10-1 with smoke and mirrors, right? But for them to just fall off a cliff and then just get embarrassed yesterday, and it was, you know, it was an offensive scheme that looked like it didn't know what it was doing. It was guys that didn't want to tackle. In that corner, James Bradbury, right? Used to be with the Giants. I mean, he's a big-time corner. There was one play where he just, like, wanted no part of tackling this guy. It was a third-down play, and it turned into a first down because he didn't make a tackle. And you saw that repeatedly. Like, run after catch, guys wouldn't tackle. And that's just a bad – you know, we talk about culture. That's bad culture. And Billy didn't have that last year, right? So something changed. They demoted their defensive coordinator in the middle of the season. And it got worse. You know, they demoted Sean Desai. And it got worse with Matt Patricia. Like, there's a bunch of stuff going on there. So when we talk about the Tampa game, I'm with you. I thought Philly was good enough. They'd figure it out. Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
Right? Like, Tampa's not in. I mean, Tampa didn't score a touchdown in its last 2 games of the regular season. Right? Like,
I know.
They beat Carolina 9-0. Yeah. But Carolina 9-0. Carolina's awful. And then they put up 30-something on the Eagles. Like, that just shows you how bad it is for the Eagles. So, you know, I kind of credit. I don't. I mean, Baker, he won the game. He was just credit. He actually made a bunch of good throws. But that was a good matchup for Baker because it looked like the Eagles didn't want to Didn't really want to be there.
Baker Mayfield continues to be the number one guy that confuses the you know what out of
Yeah.
me when it comes to the NFL, because we talked about this before. One minute I think this guy doesn't belong in the NFL, and the next minute I'm like, this guy is pretty darn good. Like, oh my gosh, he's so frustrating. There's just no way to break this guy down for me.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. Like, I've come to, and who knows, I could change my mind next week or the week after, but for me, he's a second or third tier guy, right? Like, he's not a guy you build around. He shouldn't have been the number one overall pick like he was, but he can play in this league. He deserves to have a starting job. Like, he's, is he 20th? Is he 18th? Is he, 16th? Is he somewhere in there where you can win some with him? He's gutsy. We all know that, right? All those things we knew about Baker. He throws it pretty well. He's got a pretty good arm. Struggles when there's pressure up the middle, struggles when the pocket gets condensed because he's not the biggest guy. Kind of prefers to roll out and make stuff happen. So certainly not the ideal quarterback. And I understand what the Browns saw and thought, if we're going to be the team we need to be and compete with the Mahomes and the Allens and the Burrows, we need an upgrade over Baker Mayfield. Like, I still think that argument makes complete sense. Now, we can fight about whether or not Deshaun Watson was the right guy and whether that trade was the right trade, but I understand that thinking. And you've seen it across the league where a team says, whether Washington with Kirk Cousins, yeah, we really can't win with this guy. He can only get us so far. And I feel like Baker's that kind of a guy. And even if he, like, let's say he won a Super Bowl, right? Like, he's still never going to be, which is unbelievable. The Browns have never won a Super Bowl. I get it. But, like, I think there's a ceiling to what Baker can do for you. And you're trying to get past that ceiling, right? Like, that's the argument. And I completely understand that argument. But that doesn't mean he can't play. And it doesn't mean he can't win a game and win a big game. And we've seen that.
Okay, so here's the deal, because we're starting to get long and we want to get to the
Yep.
playoffs. So here's what I'm going to do. We'll do this again next week, right?
Yep.
So let's tease these three topics. Doesn't mean we won't have more, but we're
Yep.
going to talk about the Flacco. You gave 20%. I want to dive into that. I
Yep.
want to dive into Baker more, and if Browns fans really should, and you kind of just answered it, but I want to break it down more, because there are a lot of people that still think he should be the guy here, and then there's another part of the fan base that clearly doesn't. And then the other thing I want to talk about, which I wanted to get to today, but let's pass and do it next week, is the importance of winning the division and if you
Yeah.
think they can win the division next year. But let's put that on hold until next week with a few other topics. But before we get to the playoffs, is there anything else you really want to hit before we go to the playoffs?
No, I think the other things on my list, I think they hold. I want to talk about, the roster and how it's going to change, who's free agents, who's going to leave.
Okay.
We'll probably have Stefanski Barry extensions some point soon, so we can talk about that when it happens. I fully expect those to happen. And then
Okay.
if there's any changes of the coaching staff, right? Could we see changes of staff?
Right, I just wrote all those down. So we will talk about those next week on the pod. So good stuff. Yeah, because gosh, if we start getting into all that, we'll be
Right
on here
now.
for 2 hours.
Right,
Yeah,
right.
so
We got a couple of months. We're good.
we have
We're
but as
good.
we
They're
know,
not
there'll always
playing.
be something, right?
They're not playing
So
another game for a while. So.
yeah, no doubt. All right, let's get into the playoffs here. You went 3-3 on your predictions. I went 4-2. Boy, it's a tough loss last night. Well, not
Yeah.
tough, but I'm embarrassed that I picked Philly, and I
All
think you
right.
did as well.
Yep.
We both got the Browns game wrong. We both went with the Browns. How about my pick of the Packers, Scott?
Yeah, that was a good one, Chud. That was
Over the
really good.
Cowboys.
I mean, and it wasn't close, right?
It was.
Talk about changes. There's got to be changes in Dallas, right? I mean, Jerry Jones can't stick with
Oh,
Mike McCarthy, And I think they
man.
can stick with I think they can stick with Dak. I like Dak. I would take Dak in a heartbeat. But I know people in Dallas, they're kind of fed up with it a little bit too.
Yeah. So that's the swing game, but the difference between 3-3 and 4-4, because we both got the Eagles wrong. We both got the Browns wrong. I got the Packers right. And then we both got the Lions right.
No, actually, I
And
got
we
that one
both.
wrong, Chud. I went 2-4.
Oh,
I forgot about the
whoa.
Lions game. Yeah, I thought the Rams are going to go in there and win. Yep.
Oh my gosh. Are you
Yeah.
sure you took Philly? Yeah, I guess you did. Oh my
Yeah,
gosh.
I'm pretty
Okay.
sure,
All
bud.
right.
Yeah.
Sorry, man. Well, I
That's
was trying to give you a 3-3. You
all
could
right.
have just
And
gone with it.
I thought you were right, but no, I thought the Rams were gonna go in there and win. They could have. It was a close game, but
Yeah, well, 1-point game. It was actually the close. All the games were blowouts, but that one.
yeah, that was a
I
good
mean,
game.
if you really think about it, super wild card weekend wasn't that super, you know?
It was not, you know, we see that a lot. But every once in a while you see a great weekend, but yeah, it was a dud of a weekend. It was a dud of
Yeah,
a
it was.
playoff weekend.
All right, so you went Rams, I went Lions. We both got the Chiefs over the Dolphins, and we both got the Bills over the Steelers. So,
Correct.
all right, so there you have it. Now we are down. I think this is one of my favorite weekends of the year. I love it because you have
Yep.
two games on Saturday, two games on Sunday. It's the last weekend where you have both days. It's just, even though the spreads are high on all of them, I love all the matchups because I love the history with the Packers and the Niners. And just that thought that, oh, can Green Bay do it again? And I think that's a great Saturday night game. Well, all right, well, hold on. I'm not going to say love, but the fact that Stroud versus Lamar, I think, is an
Yeah.
intriguing matchup. Okay. And then you got Baker Mayfield against the upstart line, the upstart. I mean, what, wow, that's, I mean, the Lions, I mean, they win a playoff game for the first time in what, since 91.
Right.
And that's a great story. That game's on NBC, by the way. Cheap
Okay.
plug, Lions Packers or Lions Buccaneers. And then I'm sorry. And you can be annoyed, Browns fans, but Bills Chiefs, it's must see TV. I mean, I look forward to that at 6:30 on Sunday. So, do you agree that even though the spreads are high on all of them, they're intriguing matchups?
Oh, I think they are. I think there's potential for two or three blowouts. I don't know if we'll have them, and I'm a little gun shy after I was so bad last week. But I like the matchups. I think there'll be way more exciting games to watch, and I think that Chiefs Buffalo game could be epic like the other matchups have been.
Yeah, no doubt. Super Bowl, you had the Bills and Cowboys. So you lost the Cowboys, but you still have the Bills. I had the Chiefs and Niners. Thoughts on that, the Cowboys?
I mean, I didn't see that coming, right? Again, they played well in the regular season. And here's what I think one of the differences between like the Cowboys and the Browns. The Cowboys, this was like the eighth year in a row where they had high hopes and they were really good in the regular season and they can't win a playoff game, right? The Browns, this was kind of the first year. And I know 2020 was, but that was 4 years ago. They actually won a playoff game. Right? Like the expectations in Dallas have been huge for a long time. They think they have their quarterback. They thought they had a Super Bowl winning coach. And for them to lay an egg at home and it wasn't close, like that's the kind of loss where it makes you reconsider everything if you're Jerry Jones. And I think they do have huge, like a major overhaul. And that's different than the Browns, where this is the first year they overcame all these odds to get there. You know, even though they're both lopsided losses. I think the ramifications and the feeling is different.
I totally agree with you. I put something out there on X the other day about that. Like, if you're feeling crappy Browns fans and it's not going to take the pain away, at least you're not
Right.
the Cowboy fan right now. I mean,
Yep.
that you're the 2 seed with home field advantage and the expectation. Yeah, home
They've
run
gone
take on your
undefeated at
part
home,
there.
right? Like they've gone undefeated at
Yeah.
home, like all of it. Yeah.
Have you seen the stats about the Packers just owning them, though? They've won more
Yeah.
postseason games in that stadium than Dallas has.
That's crazy. I know. That's crazy.
The Packers. That's it. So, all right. Bottom line is, though, you still got the Bills.
Yeah.
So, three of our four Super Bowl predict teams are still left. So, one of them's going to go away, though, with the Chiefs versus the
Yup.
Bills. And we'll see what happens there. So, all right, let's get into predictions here. Let's start with the first game. Ravens hosting the Texans. Ravens favored by 9. Who you got?
Yeah. Give me the Ravens. Give me the Ravens to cover. I don't feel great about that, but for a couple of reasons, I think the Ravens are really good. Now they've been resting a while. They didn't play their starters, most of their starters in the last week. So Lamar's been off for it's gonna be 3 weeks now. I don't think it'll matter. I think the Ravens are really good on both sides of the ball, and I think Houston, as well as Houston played, it feels like one of those teams where. You know, you have a really big win, and then you go on the road, step up a class. You're young. It's going to be harder for them to win on the road. Really good team. So give me the Ravens. Although I'm a little trepidatious about that pick, but I'm going to say the Ravens and I think the Ravens cover.
Do we have to go cover here, or are we just
No, I
picking the
just,
winners?
I'm just adding,
Yeah, you
bonus,
just...
bonus for the
Yeah,
listeners.
it's almost a trap, right? Like you're like,
Yeah.
oh, I'm gonna take that 9.5 or 9 points in Stroud, right?
Right.
So I'm gonna go Ravens as well. I think they win the game. That said, we could see something special here. If Stroud were
Yeah.
going in there to upset the Ravens, then you'd have to sit there and be like, okay,
Right.
and maybe that makes the Browns look a little bit better too,
Yeah.
if they
Yeah.
go in and win that game. So, I mean, something like that.
And there's questions about
Niners.
Lamar. I mean, Lamar hasn't won a playoff game, right? Or it's been a long time. So I think there's questions about Lamar in the playoffs. I expect him to answer those, but like you say, he's got to show
Yeah. I'm going to take the Niners over the Packers. That hurts me because I think Packers, my buddy and I decided decades ago that if when the Browns left in 95, we're like, what team are we going to root for? And we decided on the Packers because it just felt like they weren't an AFC team, wasn't a rival, loved their fans,
it.
that fan base, just kind of the community, like it's not in the downtown area. Just something about it. So I've kind of always had no issue with the Packers. So I've always kind of liked to root for them when the Browns were not involved. That said, the 49ers were my pick for the Super Bowl, and I just don't know if the Packers can go on the road and win two in a row like that.
Yeah, I think it's asking a lot. I like the Niners big.
Niners big. Okay. All right. So we both agree on the first two games. Third game, this is probably, I guess I would say that I could see like a CJ Stroud burst and the Texans pulling it off somehow. Like I could maybe visualize that. Hey, the Packers beat Dallas. Why not beat San Francisco? This is the game I feel most confident about. And next week, if I'm wrong, I'll be like, hey, I just didn't see it coming. I got the Lions beating the Buccaneers. And I know you could say, well, I mean, it's the Lions, they're going to choke. I just think they're different, man. If you watch their locker room celebration, just the attitude of this team, certainly they could lose, I guess, but I don't think Baker's going to go in and win in Detroit. I'm going to go Lions.
What's the spread in this game? You know?
That is six and a half.
Okay. I'm going to take the Lions. I think Baker, I think it's hard to win on the road. I think the Buccaneers are flawed. Although they got some weapons, some guys for him to throw to. The Lions have some issues covering guys. I think it's, you said you wouldn't be surprised about the Saturday games or the first two games. This one of those three games, I like the Bucs the best. I like the Bucs' chances the best. Todd Bowles really confused Jalen Hurts in that offense yesterday. Could they do the same thing to Jared Goff? Could they get him to throw a couple picks with that blitzing? Maybe. I think the Lions can be vulnerable in their secondary. Having said that, I'm going to take the Lions.
Yeah, if the game was in Tampa, I would agree with all of your points. Since it's in Detroit,
Yeah.
I'm feeling really heavy about the Lions, but
Yeah,
we'll see.
I might take the
See.
points there. Like I might take Tampa in the points if I were a betting man.
Yeah. Okay. And the last game, this is the most difficult one. Bills. Right now, I saw 3.5 yesterday. I thought now I see 2.5 at home against the Chiefs. Mahomes' first playoff road game. How about that? What do you think? I'm gonna let you go first. Bills hosting the Chiefs. I think I know
Chud,
where you're gonna go.
I was almost going to go opposite you just so I could try to close the gap in a playoff picks.
I'll go first.
No,
I'll
that's
go
all right.
first.
No, I don't want to cop out. You know what? Give me the Chiefs.
I know who you're gonna pick.
No, I'm going to take
Go
the
ahead.
Chiefs. I'm
What?
going to go against my Super Bowl pick. I'm going to take the Chiefs. I know Mahomes has not had to go on the road for a playoff game. It's probably a bad pick, but I can't pick against Patrick Mahomes. Like, that's what it boils down to. I can't pick against Mahomes and Reed, and I'm going to pick them.
Wow, I did not see that coming.
Yeah.
I thought you'd go Bills for sure. You're a Super Bowl pick at
Yeah.
home.
Well, maybe if I lose, then I
Yeah.
still got my Super Bowl pick. Who knows?
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
Imagine.
I'm with you. I'm going Chiefs.
Are you
I'm
really?
going. I'm yeah. I'm going with you.
Interesting.
It had nothing to, no matter what you did, I was going Chiefs. I agree with everything you just said. Give me Mahomes. I'm now Josh Allen, dude. The guy's a stud. I mean, we
Oh.
know. I mean, he's won me a fantasy title. He's, I mean, eye candy to watch. He's an amazing quarterback, and they have the home field advantage. Boy, am I talking myself into the Bills right now? But yeah,
Yeah,
I just think this is going to be a wild one. The Chiefs come out on top. That
cool.
said, of the four games, this is the one that could go either way for sure.
Yeah, I completely agree with that.
Like if you not that the other games can't go the other way, I'm just saying if you rank them 1 through 4 and said which game has the potential to most to go either way, I would say
Oh,
this one.
there's no doubt, and I think it'll be the best game. You know that we've seen the matchups in the playoffs before. I think, you know, Kansas City probably has a better defense. You know, Kansas City probably has a better quarterback, but not always. Because Josh Allen's so stinking good. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to that game.
All right, we'll see what happens. It's gonna be interesting to see how we get down to the AFC and NFC Championship game. But again, Scott, I guess bottom line, what a ride for the Browns.
Yeah.
Let's see, I wrote it down exactly how I wanted to say it. Well, it's not that amazing, but I'll just say, what a ride, what a ride, brutal ending, right? What a ride, brutal ending.
That sounds right. No, you're exactly right, Chad. That sums it up.
Yeah. So, how about this too? I on this podcast, I came close to walking 4 miles. How about
Did you really? Now I'm just
that?
jealous.
I've been walking this whole time.
Wow, you sound great.
So,
I'd be huffing and puffing like a crazy person. Wow.
yeah, no,
I saw your 100-mile challenge. I got to get on that.
that's what it is. It's
Yeah.
100 miles in 31 days. And I had to figure out how to do both of these today. And I'm like, well, if I'm able to do both, I'll do both. And luckily, where I'm at, there's not a lot of people. So I didn't like blow them away with my voice.
Yeah. That's so
So,
strong, Chad. Nice work, buddy.
well, you know, hey, if you're listening right now and you're thinking about getting out and getting some exercise, go get it, man. Because
Yeah.
the wintertime blues, they can get you.
No, you're right. I'm going to get up and do something here. So
Yeah,
cool.
there you go. Wait. I know if it was nice enough out. You know what? Isn't like a golf simulator somewhere that
Yeah,
you
I'm
could
going to have
go
to get to
grab?
Topgolf or something this week.
Yeah,
Yep. Yep.
Topgolf. There you
Yeah.
go.
No, I like that idea. Plan it in my head. So,
Yeah, there
yep.
you have it. All
Cool.
right, we'll talk next week.
Thanks, bud. I appreciate it. I appreciate everybody listening. This has been another episode of the Zone Coverage Podcast, and you can read all my work at brownzone.com. Thanks.